You know, I can't get this
that
right.
That did not go well. That did
normally
not.
Normally, this is up and ready to roll.
What happened?
I don't know.
And you missed your cue for the song.
Oh, all right, start it again. I missed my cue.
From the top?
Yeah, from
yeah,
the top.
Yeah, start it again, Kevin.
Damn it.
I'm David Jennings on The Voice of Chicago.
Oh, my God, you are dead on.
Thanks. I do all of his stunt work.
Wow.
You want to hear David singing the song along with her?
Monday. Who are you?
David Jennings. I'm the voice of Chicago.
We're off to a great start on a Monday, aren't
I think
we?
So. Hi, everybody. I was kidding. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Don't be scared.
You're not David Jennings?
No, not even on my best day. All right, so welcome to the show. We're thrilled that you're listening. It should be a fun one. Wendy, you mentioned this earlier, and I was shocked to see this. One of our favorite end-of-the-year festivals is coming to an end.
Oh, I know.
Chi-Town Rising, no more.
Okay, first of all, you and I predicted that the moment we heard the name.
Yeah, because if you live in Chicago and call it Chi-Town, something's wrong with
we
you.
We punch you.
Right. Neither of us are proponents of bullying, but if you ever say, hey, I'm in Chi-Town, Wendy will hold you and I will pummel you.
All right.
And then we'll switch off. Then I will hold you and Wendy will pummel
good.
You. Until you don't call it Chi-Town anymore.
Yeah, I mean, was it Mario Lopez last year? Or was he the first year? It's only happened, what, twice?
Twice.
And here's the weird thing. Attendance was pretty great.
But wouldn't it have been anyway? I mean, it's downtown Chicago on New Year's Eve.
I don't go downtown Chicago on New Year's Eve, do you?
The kids love to come downtown and see the firework.
90,000 people showed up for the first one.
That's pretty good. And only 419 people for the second one. So that's quite a drop-off. They weren't expecting that big of a drop-off. It wasn't good. I watched part of it on TV. Something happens to Chicago television on New Year's Eve, and it's not pretty.
Well, are you talking Janet Davies?
I'm not naming names.
Then why are you shaking your head yes?
I have a nervous tic.
Or I guess nodding. You shake no.
Right, I'm nodding my head yes. And Mark Giangreco.
Yes.
Who are very nice people.
They are very nice people, but the combo of them is peculiar. And yet, everyone tunes in because didn't he bite her one year or something?
I hope so. He would be making a horrible mistake if he didn't. There's always, they do this fake kiss, you're not supposed to be watching us kiss. That always happens. And I'm not blaming them. I mean, they're just trying to fill time
right.
on an awkward night. My usual go-to was Kathy Griffin and Anderson Cooper, but that's no more.
And
you won't see that anymore.
I
they're
think
not friends
Eric
anymore.
And Kathy had something
they sure
going,
did.
Too, and that's no more.
That's no more. So, it's such a weird array of people. You got Ryan Seacrest doing it from one corner of New York. You have Carson Daly doing it from another corner. It's like
all your favorite people.
It is. It's all the people. Why doesn't Kevin Hart have a show?
See, all of a sudden it's starting to sound really good that every year we blow up the Death Star at midnight because we cue that up.
It's better.
So it happens right at the stroke of 12, the Death Star explodes.
The video of it from the movie,
yes,
right?
Yes, A New Hope. I don't even know which one it is and when to start it.
Yeah.
And I make steak and lobster tails every year. That's what we
it's
do.
It's the best New Year's option I've heard.
It really is.
Because every year we... Because my wife and I are elderly, we stay at the house. We don't go out anymore. Because for years when I did stand-up, that was the best money night of the year was New Year's Eve, so I never turned it down. I always worked on New Year's Eve. And then when I was done doing stand-up, I said, I'm never leaving my house again on New Year's Eve. I'm going to rent some movies, and we're going to watch them. But Terry always feels the need to see the stroke of midnight. She goes, let's watch one of them, and we flip around, and we flip around, and there's no good options. It's just awful.
I'm telling you, the Death Star, that's
the
way
Death Star's
to do
the best
this year.
Option. Well, here's what I've thought in the future would be the best New Year's Eve show. You get some local people, and you just do kind of a year in review.
For like Bob Roarman?
Yeah, you get Bob Roarman.
He'd be
that
great.
Would be the first guy I would turn to. I'd go, hey, Roarman, I want to pitch an idea to you. So it's Bob Roarman and who
Ron
else?
Kittle.
Yeah, you get Ron Kittle for sure.
Let's make this
Talk
the best little group of people.
Ronnie Woo-Woo.
Oh, you got to have him.
Jori Luloff.
Is she still around?
She's still around. She's not working anymore. She'd do it. All right, so you just do a year in review where you go month by month. Maybe it's an hour, maybe it's 90 minutes. And you see the highlights and the lowlights of January, February, March. Here was the biggest story in sports. Here was the biggest story in fashion and food.
What would Woo Woo do?
I just go, woo, woo. Like whoever was talking, like if Bob Roorman was talking, it was a great year to say, woo, woo. That would be a great show.
Maybe you could get Cindy Crawford in since she's from DeKalb.
Right.
And she could do the fashion segment.
Right. I think this is a killer idea. No disrespect to those others who are trying to put on shows, but this is what people want to see. You want to say goodbye to the year, do it in fashion. Do it in style.
I like your idea. Why don't you pitch someone on that?
I pitch somebody. Who can I pitch?
Larry Wirt.
Yeah, I could do that. He knows some people. All right. Wouldn't you watch that over the other shows that are on? I would.
I would, too. I would like to see a retrospective of your local area.
Yeah. Well, you could do it both locally and nationally. You could say, "Here, this is what happened in Chicago this year. This is what happened in America. This is what happened globally this year. This is what happened intergalactically." And then you close on your Death Star exploding.
See, we've got it all figured
Everybody's
out.
Everybody's involved.
Larry Wirt could actually be on the show and talk about the best divers.
Yes.
From the year.
That's how I would sell it to him. Because he'd say to me at some point, he'd go, "Bill, it sounds good, but is there any divers involved?" And I go, "Is there?"
He's a fantastic diver.
You get Greg Louganis in there?
Yeah.
Jar Jar Binks?
What does he do? What is he the greatest of anything?
He did. There was a diving scene in one of the...
Oh, you're
where
right.
Where they went to his
right.
planet.
Wow. Yeah. Do you put Jar Jar Binks and Kevin Hart in the same category?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Same guy. It's the same exact guy. To me, anyway. All right, so no more Chi-Town Rising. Fans, I'm sorry, but you've seen your last. It says, after ringing in two New Year's Eves in Chicago, Chi-Town Rising will not be returning for a third year. Organizers of the fledgling outdoor New Year's Eve party meant it as a Midwestern equivalent to New York's celebration in Times Square. Let me just take a moment to say it wasn't.
Oh, my God. And we would see them set up that shooting star or whatever. It was a star that went up and then whirled around. And that's nothing.
Why is it, like when New York does a parade, and you see this every Thanksgiving when they do the Macy's parade. You go, look at this. This is look at how beautiful this is. This is a stunning parade. Celebrities, great floats, great bands. And then when we try to do a parade here in Chicago, some of them are okay.
The Bud Billiken's great.
Is it great? Would you call it great?
I was kidding.
I was hoping you were kidding. If I'm Bud Billiken, I know he's no longer with us. I say, take my name off of that parade. I'm not happy with what you're doing with this parade.
Come on. We don't do Columbus Day parades. A St. Patrick's Day parade we do way better.
But it's no. But compare it to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade.
You can't.
It's not. That's what
the
I mean.
Parade of all parades.
But why can't we say, you know, we could have a giant inflatable underdog. Why can't we have that?
I would kill for that.
That'd put us on the map.
And I would harbor it over my house during the off season. Wouldn't that be cool?
People would be. It'd be easy to find your house.
They'd always go, that's a
Wendy
good point.
Lives right over there under the giant underdog.
I love underdog. Sweet Polly purebred.
Yeah,
those were the days, my friend.
So why can New York pull off a parade or a New Year's Eve festival, and we try our hardest, but it's just not as good? Why?
Because I don't know that we try our hardest.
It's so upsetting.
We got Lollapalooza.
We do. We have plenty of great stuff.
Just parade
but comparatively, yeah, to a New Year's Eve celebration.
The Thanksgiving, well, see, because we do the lights.
The Festival of the Lights is our best parade. The one that Disney spearheads.
Yeah.
That's our best one.
But that is right before the Macy's, which is, what, a day later or two days later, something like
within
that?
Within a week or so, right.
And then that overshadows us.
Yeah.
We just need giant inflatables. I think that's all
we
need.
I know.
I want to ride on one. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be hysterical. There's a woman up there.
See?
It's
Wonder
Wendy.
Woman.
It's Wendy.
I want to ride on Wonder Woman.
Here are, may I read to you, this is from DNA Info, Wendy. They have compiled the worst festivals in recent Chicago history.
Oh, boy.
I don't know that these are in order. They list Chi-Town Rising first, but is this best to worst or worst to best? Do we know?
Well, that was
random?
The worst. That really was, and I'm sorry. We all kind of snickered at the plan. It didn't even really sound that good on paper.
It didn't sound good on paper, and then with all respect to Mario Lopez, who's one of our national treasures, I would have gone with somebody a little more local. Joan Cusack. Would have gone with Joan Cusack.
But wasn't it...
Jeremy Piven.
Oh, yeah. But it was...
Chris Bryant.
Weren't they trying to get the appeal? I'd watch if it was him.
He's good.
I love his smile.
He's very, very lovable.
Even though it was Chi-Town Rising, which no one calls it, weren't they trying to get more of a national viewership? Isn't that why Mario Lopez was brought in for it?
Did they run that nationally?
I don't know, Bill. I really don't know anything about it.
I don't know if they ran it nationally or not. But even then, if you were going with somebody more national, is he the guy that if you're the network, you go, there's only one guy that could get people all across the country to watch our festival, and that's Mario Lopez.
Dude, you mentioned it yourself. Ryan Seacrest and Carson Daly were busy.
No, I guess so.
There's right? No one left.
The pool gets pretty thin.
Oprah should have hosted it.
Oprah would have been fantastic. But, she, you know, her deal is, but then Gail's got to do it, too. All right, bring Gail, too. Bring
Stedman. They would have been good. Stedman would have just sat there. I'm sorry. He's nothing against him. He's just, you know, in a room where you got Oprah, Gail King, and Stedman, he doesn't get any words in.
No, you're right. You're right. All right. So here are the worst festivals in recent Chicago history, according to DNA Info. They list Chi-Town Rising at the top. Things started out fine for Chi-Town Rising, to which my eyebrow goes sideways, which drew a self-reported 90,000 attendees. Although Trump said there were over 4 million people there. It topped local broadcasts when it debuted back in 2016. But a lack of star power, like we were saying, and slipping ratings led to the festival canceling its plans for 2018.
That's
also
a smart
Chicagoans
move.
Hated the name. Yes, we did.
Yeah, yes, we did. Totally.
I don't remember this one, Wendy, and I'm a huge F. Scott Fitzgerald fan. The Great Gatsby Lawn Party? When did that happen?
Well,
when was that?
You are an F. Scott Fitzgerald
fan. I love it. That's my favorite novel of all time, The Great Gatsby. I would have come to this had I known it existed. I didn't even know it existed.
What, when, where?
It says it's usually a good idea to secure a venue before asking people to pay $50 for a festival.
Oops.
But empty promises are easier. I had no idea such a thing existed.
Well, it didn't exist. They sold tickets
and didn't have a
venue.
Did it?
That's what it sounds like in the little paragraph.
I would have dressed like Nick Carraway, his neighbor. That would have been my plan.
What would you have worn?
An ascot.
Didn't you put the ass in ascot?
Yes.
You going to HR after the show?
Yes. Right. HR Puff and stuff. what was this? I never heard of this. Get in it Music Fest.
I've heard about that.
At one time, a music festival at Sox Park with headliner Loopy Fiasco, Macklemore, and Fat Joe.
Yeah.
Might have done well, but that time has passed.
Jerry Nunn, there was another Get In It that happened recently that he spoke about.
Just this year?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, the one at White Sox Park has died a quick death, unfortunately. Reggae Fest, it says, was not a good idea.
I would have gone had someone told me about it. I love reggae.
Didn't they just have it a year ago?
I never heard of it.
Reggae Fest, Chicago organizers, hosted a successful festival last year on the Near West Side, but then told supporters that they were taking their island time to a new concert going. That's the worst constructed sentence of all time. Reggae Fest aims to return, however, in 2018.
But
so what is,
where?
If they did it last year, they're just not saying where yet.
Well, that's probably the problem of why it's not performing.
I know.
You got to tell people where it is.
Wendy, here's one you and I promoted last year.
Uh-oh.
Margarita Fest. Remember we had a guy in from Margarita Fest?
No.
And you, it became a Loopy Fiasco for you, if I remember correctly. this is awful. Racist outbursts aside, anytime a sentence starts with those words, it doesn't end well.
Right.
Racist outbursts aside, Margarita Fest had been fraught with problems, including low staffing and long lines at two different parks. We had somebody on to discuss this because I said, this sounds like a dream come true. I can't believe you guys are doing this. I didn't know there were racist outbursts.
Why were there?
It doesn't say.
Doesn't a margarita bring people together?
A margarita's supposed to bring people together. I wonder if Mario Lopez got involved in some way, shape, or form. I hope not.
Should have had.
That's your guy. He's already here. He's got a plane ticket. Let him host it. Chicago's hot...
Careful.
Chicago's Hot Sauce Festival. I think we promoted
that
one, too.
I think.
I know we did.
That didn't go well? People just eating hot sauce on a cracker?
I think there was a gang war between the people at Hot Sauce Festival and Margarita Fest. I think they got into some trouble together.
Why didn't they hook up? Because if you have hot sauce, you're going to want a margarita, correct? Let's bring them together.
I'm laughing because I noted that we also promoted this one, Chicago's Food Truck Fest.
How could that not have gone well?
I don't know.
I would still promote that.
This one had a lot of bored people and hardly any food trucks. It says, well, there's your mistake, is if you're having Food Truck Fest, bring in extra food trucks, not just a couple.
Does it say Food Truck Fest? Because maybe they just had one.
It does say Food Truck Fest singular, so maybe the problem was in the volume. Although I went to one in Evanston, and there were a ton of food trucks, and everybody enjoyed themselves. So you can do it.
I went to that, actually. I know you mentioned it earlier. I was at the Reggae Festival.
And how was it, Kev?
It was just in a really weird location.
Near West Side, it said?
Yeah, but it was like kind of, you know, just west of UIC, so you could see UIC and all that there.
Yeah.
It was really industrial, and
yeah.
it was a little bizarre. The crowd was fine, and the music was okay, but yeah, the location was really, it wasn't very accessible.
They're all smoked up, though, right? They don't care.
You're right, exactly.
They're fine.
I love reggae.
Yeah,
That's my top pick.
Yeah. Bob Marley Maitland. That's my new band.
You gotta stop. Really.
That's my new
band. Egregious, what was it?
Egregious Filthy.
Oh, yeah,
broke
that's
up.
My favorite.
We broke up. The Third Rail Music Festival.
We might have promoted that, too.
I think we did promote that one, too. Almost every one of these you and I promoted.
Yeah, I'm noticing a trend here. Maybe that's...
We're the kiss of death.
You know how we mention celebrities and they die? If we promote a festival, it also dies.
Well, we should have a kiss of death festival. It would kick ass.
All right, let's take a break. Kim's got the news coming up in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Kim. We appreciate it.
Kim shared some good news with us off air.
Yes,
some incredibly good news. Please tell everybody.
I'm going to be a grandmother.
For the first time.
For the first time.
That's fantastic.
And having three sons, we know it's a little girl. So, I mean, that is just the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
We know she's healthy.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's wonderful news.
Yeah.
Is it shocking at all to you to say that you will be a grandmother?
That your kid's having a kid.
Yes, that my kid is having a kid, yes. And actually, you know, my mom and my grandmother both also got married very young, and I did too. I guess we're from Kentucky. So my mom was a grandmother at 42. I'm 52. So
wow.
I'm becoming a grandmother 10 years later than my mom
wow.
did.
Wow.
Things are different.
Very different. My son's 30, so that's about normal.
So I don't know who in your family is still surviving or not, but did you have great-grandparents when you were a kid?
Yes,
you did, right?
Yes, and this is so cool because when I was born, there were five generations of women in my family, and when this baby's born, there's also going to be five generations
Outstanding.
Of women. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's
really
so cool.
I want to know what she's going to call you.
I don't know.
Kim Gordon.
I
would say call me Kim Gordon. The people at work do.
My husband's family's from Germany, so he wants to be Opa, which is German for grandpa.
Yeah.
I'm not into the Oma thing. I don't feel that. I don't feel like I want to be a Bubby.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We're just going to have to see.
Bubby is the Yiddish word for
grandma. It's Yiddish word for German.
Oh, okay. Because I called my grandparents Nina and Nino. It was supposed to be Nana and Nano, but my cousin couldn't say it. So it was just Nina and Nino.
Yeah.
When Jim's parents became grandparents when Michael was born, she wanted grandma. They were like you. They're like, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Well, and it's interesting because in my family, we have some interesting things. My grandmother, who's still alive, we call her Mimi. And then
I've known a couple Mimi grandmas.
Yes, nice,
that's great.
Yeah,
which,
that's nice.
I love Mimi.
Yeah.
And then my mom and dad have very interesting grandparents' names. My dad, they call Goat, like the animal.
Any backstory?
My dad
on
is
that?
Grandpa Goat. Yes.
Yeah.
And then my mom is Sammy, because it's a very long story. But I'll give you the goat first.
All right.
So my son, who's Seth, who's the oldest, had a book about a grandpa goat.
Yeah.
And so he just started calling my dad Goat. And so my dad has always been Goat. They're friends. Everybody calls him Goat. My mom collects little goats. She's got goats all over
wow.
her house. It's really been a lot of fun. And then the Sammy thing is one time when my oldest son was little, my dad's name is Sam.
Yeah.
And they call him Sammy.
Yeah.
So Seth thought that they were talking to my mom, somebody calling him Sammy. So he just started saying Sammy. So we have Sammy and Goat. And actually, their names ended up once in the Tribune. My sister submitted it about like the most interesting grandparent names.
So we
have the little cutout of the paper where Sammy
perfect.
And Goat are listed. Yeah.
Perfect.
Here's the thing. These are sweet little stories when you share with us, but being your father, I would not want to be called Goat, would you?
Oh, he loves it.
He does?
He loves
does he?
It.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, greatest of all times, too.
Yeah.
So he's...
Yeah.
No, he loves it.
G-O-A-T, greatest of all time.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, all my grandparents were alive but one, and most of my great-grandparents were alive but one. So we had to assign, it was grandpa or grandma, and then their first name.
Right.
And I liked that better. And I still, should I live to be a grandparent or a great-grandparent, I'm hoping, I wouldn't mind that my name was included.
Grandpa Bill.
That sounds old.
It does, doesn't it? Now that I think about it, it really does.
How about Grandpa Billy? That gives it some youth.
Or Billy Goat. I can merge with your grandfather.
Are you happy to share Goat? If you want to be a goat, it's really an awesome thing.
My mother was around not when my kids were born. So,
yeah.
But when my brother had his first kid, Kara, my mother wanted to be called Grandmother. And we're like,
very formal.
It is. And it's going to be tough, you know, because most kids want to say grandma, but she stuck to it and corrected them all the time.
Did she?
And they all called her grandmother.
Really? Well, and it's funny because my, you know, being from the South, my grandfather, we called granddaddy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You know, it was always granddaddy. And then as we got older, we dropped the daddy and he was just grand.
Oh,
you know,
that's easy. Now, my nieces and nephews. Never call it's always just Bill. It's no uncle.
No,
ever.
My kids, it's funny because my kids on my nieces and nephews and my kids call my brother and sister Hillary and Lyle.
Yeah.
But on my
and those aren't even their names.
No,
which
yeah,
is really,
isn't that crazy? We have a lot of weird names in our family. And then on my husband's side of the family, they always say like Uncle Howard, Uncle Sheldon. I don't know why.
We do the aunts and uncles. My brother's kids do.
I thought growing up, like when I became an uncle, that's part of it is you just get uncle attached to your name.
I mean, we must have a zoo in our family because my kids also call my sister dog.
Oh, no.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Dog?
Yeah.
Dog and
goat.
Come
on, dog. You know.
You guys are like a show on
Cartoon
Network.
Something.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. I mean, it's not amazing it was going to happen eventually, but it must, at some point when I become one, it's going to shock me. Like, I'll just go, how did I was just a kid myself, and now I'll have a grandchild.
I know. And it's just, I can't even fathom what it's going to be like to watch your own child be a parent.
Right.
That to me is just, besides enjoying this baby, spoiling it to death and handing it back.
Yeah.
I mean, watching your child become a parent is just, it gives me goosebumps to think about it.
But he seems well, it's Seth, right?
Yeah, it's Seth.
He seems to be well suited for this.
He is. I think he's going to be, he and his wife are going to be just amazing parents.
Yeah.
They're so excited.
Yeah.
If the way they've trained their dog is any indication, they're in good shape.
You know what? It's harder to train a dog. So
I'm telling you. Yeah, they should be good.
Yeah. Do you expect many, many more grandchildren, or do you think, are they the kind that'll go, well, one is
fun,
maybe two?
Oh, no, I think I expect
two.
Many. And then my other son is getting married in June, so I'm feeling like this is going to become a cycle.
Start of something big?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being a grandparent.
Mm-mm.
I hope I live to see it. Mine are young still.
Oh, you will.
I think at some point, I know this will sound crazy, but I always think like when our daughters have kids, it's obvious. It's easier in so many respects for the reasons you just mentioned. You know, you just have to be there every once in a while. But like my relationship with my grandparents was very, very strong.
Oh, me too. And I saw my grandparents actually lived in the same apartment complex. So we would just like run from one apartment to the other.
Yeah.
And my grandparents, you know, I guess I'm very lucky in the respect that my grandparents happened to be best friends. So they were always with us.
So they
anywhere
were all
and everywhere.
In the same apartment complex.
Right. Not the same apartment building, but apartment complex. So maybe three or four different buildings down.
Here's why I ask. When my grandparents came over from Slovenia, this is on my mom's side, it was customary for them to buy, the whole family would buy one building and just share the building. So my mom referred to her grandparents as grandma and grandma upstairs and grandma and grandma downstairs because that was the living arrangement in the three-story building.
Yeah, well, my dad's parents, they lived above their grocery store for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they retired, they moved to the same apartment complex as my grandparents.
Wow.
So, you know, I was always around my grandparents.
Did they become friends because your parents were married or were they friends first and then your parents?
Well, they kind of knew each other. They became really good friends because of my parents. But, you know, the Jewish community in Louisville is small, so everybody kind of knows.
I didn't know there was any in Louisville.
I mean, it's shrunk over the years, but it's still one of those communities where everybody knows everybody. Yeah. So they knew each other from the community, and then obviously when my parents got together, they just became really good friends.
That's excellent.
That is excellent, because a lot of times when you have two separate grandparents, sometimes there is a little jealousy or something involved.
Rivalry.
So
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So you had it made perfectly.
We really did. It was awesome.
When Terry and I got married, we had been dating for a little over 6 years, almost 6.5 years, and our parents had never met each other because we were both sure that one of the four of them would say something so outrageous that the other couple would go, there's no way I'm letting you marry into that family. We didn't know if it would be somebody on my side or on her side, but we were so sure. So we took them out to dinner a week before the wedding just to play it safe. But that's the only way we could handle it. I didn't want to not get married. Marriage forward, it was fine. And actually, that night, it was fine, too. Her parents and my parents are extremely different people. Very, very different people. But we're still married, so we won. We beat them. Well, Kim, congratulations.
Thank you.
And I will submit a list of names.
Okay, that'd be good.
All right.
We'll look them over.
Are you... Oh, for Grandma.
No, not just for Grandma, but for the baby.
Okay, that'll be good. I'll submit those too.
Are they? Because my niece is expecting her second child. She has Adeline, which they call Addie, who just turned two. So she's my great niece. I'm a great aunt, and I don't know that she calls me great Aunt Wendy, although it goes without saying.
Yeah.
And now Kara's having a second baby, and she did reveal it's a boy. But the same thing with her first child. She will not reveal the name till after the birth.
You can't.
Why?
Because somebody will ruin it for you.
It's true. Well, also, you know. Orthodox or religious Jews, like if
you
it's a boy, it's a bris.
After.
You don't even say the name until they have a bris.
Oh,
a lot
is
of
that
people
right?
don't even tell you. Yeah,
I can't keep secrets.
I can't either. I would be a bad Jewish
person.
The
only one I knew.
Trust me, no, you wouldn't.
You'd be fine.
Matzah.
Matzah ball soup.
Yes.
You can't keep a secret. It's a good thing.
Oh, okay.
You can't name your baby after somebody who's alive, right?
Right. You
That's
name it after,
bad luck.
You name your baby. Well, I don't know if it's bad luck. It's just tradition that you name it after somebody who's passed away. It's kind of an honor and a way to remember somebody you loved who's no longer with you.
Do you have to name it after?
No, you don't have to.
You don't have to.
But it's kind of just the way it is. I mean, and a lot of times, you know, Jewish people also have Hebrew names and
regular
names. So sometimes if, like, for example, my husband's father's name was Siegfried. Well, I wasn't going to name my kid Siegfried, but his name is Seth because it has the first initial.
Oh.
And then he has my father-in-law's Hebrew name.
Yeah.
So that's how how you do it.
But is it ever referred to? Is he ever referred to by his Hebrew name? I mean, he was probably in Hebrew school.
In Hebrew school or when you go to synagogue, different things, but otherwise no. But you can just kind of know what it is.
It's like your middle name.
Exactly.
You just have it in case someone's mad at you.
Or you get arrested.
Right. Right.
And we're picking out confirmation names. Dylan is going to get confirmed. And I have run it past the powers that be at the church. And I don't know if they're going to accept this. When Michael got confirmed 4 years ago, he chose Michael. And I said, that's weird because
that's your
name.
Real name.
And he goes, but I love Saint Michael, the archangel, and all this. And I'm like, okay, usually it doesn't matter with Catholics in a confirmation name. It's just kind of there for the ceremony,
and then you use it another
you don't
time.
Ever use it. And Dylan wants Saint Nicholas, and I don't know if they're going to allow it. And now Michael's mad that he chose
Santa Claus.
Yes,
really? But there is a real Saint Nicholas.
There's
right?
Saint Nicholas something something, the patron saint of something. I kind of looked it up to
Christmas Land.
No, it's something else. I can't remember what it was, but I hope they let him use it.
Well, they didn't let me, at my school. I submitted Petersburg for Saint Petersburg, and they said no.
You could have picked Peter.
Because they knew that I was messing with them.
Oh, like St. Petersburg,
yeah,
Russia.
Yeah, they saw through my plan.
Got it.
Russia or Florida. I like them both. So, no, they wouldn't allow that sort of thing.
You started the whole Vladimir Putin thing. That's where it started.
It was me. All right, a couple of things that we must discuss before time is out. Number one, Kevin, this isn't fair. I had you pull audio for downstairs, but I don't know if you brought it upstairs. The beauty pageant contestant, were you able to get that audio? No?
No, I don't have
All right. I'll tell the story really quickly. If you have time, try to find the audio because it's even better coming from her than
Did
from
you
me.
Watch it this weekend?
I haven't watched a beauty pageant since I was a kid.
It
have
was
you?
Miss America this week,
it was
right?
Miss America.
I just saw it, but you know what? I used to, as a little kid, like, set a day and time when I was little. And we all watched it. Everybody did. Now I haven't seen a beauty pageant, like you said, in years.
Forever. There wasn't anything else on. Right. And Burt Parks was the one who was always...
A master showman, that Burt Parks.
He really wasn't, but...
I don't remember seeing him do anything but the beauty pageant.
What did he do?
I don't know. I have no idea. He would do the beauty pageant every year, and we would go, boy, well, that Burt Parks is talented. And then a year later, there he'd show up again. Now, you have to help me with this, because I can't remember the differences between the Miss USA pageant and the Miss America pageant. I know they're structured similarly, and that Donald Trump had a hand. I don't think he does anymore, but he owned one of them. But I think he owned Miss USA and the Miss Universe pageant. I don't think he owned Miss America.
And doesn't Miss USA compete in the Miss Universe?
Yes.
That's how it works.
Yes, that's it exactly.
So you win Miss USA to compete in the Miss Universe pageant. But if you're Miss America, that's as far as you go.
Yeah, you can't go any further than that. Right. And basically, if I remember right, because like we all said, it's been years and years, they're structured the same, right? They start out with 51 contestants,
right?
Because DC gets a contestant as well. And then they narrow it down and narrow it down, and then they do a talent portion, and then they show you who Miss Congeniality is.
Swimsuit.
They
evening
still do that.
Gown.
Right.
Talent.
Yeah. If any apply.
Right.
Sometimes Wendy, a contestant will go, I'm sorry, but I have no talent.
But I'm beautiful and I look good in a bathing suit.
Right. Right. Which, by the way, for years they've been saying is the most demeaning portion of the test.
Absolutely.
And it kind of is. Right.
Yeah.
It continues. But then on the other side of the argument, people go, but it's a beauty pageant. So a swimsuit is part of beauty. Is it? I don't know. I guess you can make the argument either way.
I think they should get rid of it.
I agree.
Of that portion of it?
Yes. It's stupid.
But couldn't you also say that about the pageant itself?
Yeah.
Is that why they don't have that for guys? A guy can't Mr. Handsome contest.
Well, I know, but, you know, that is just demeaning in my opinion, because if you're trying to have a male competition, you wouldn't say stripped down to a Speedo.
Right. It's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Right.
You would have them be respectable in a suit. So evening gown's okay. See your taste, see how you dress.
I don't have a bathing suit.
Stupid.
So keep evening gown, but drop swimsuit, right? And keep talent or drop talent?
I haven't seen much talent.
Well, honestly, why do they need talent? Because they're just basically ambassadors and they go around. They just need to be people.
Right.
But honestly, they need to have a brain in their head.
Right. That's true.
That's the most important.
So ACT scores instead of talent?
ACT scores. Right. All right. So last night, one of the contestants on the Miss America contest was asked a question, and I didn't think they got this political. I guess every once in a while, during the question and answer portion, they'll throw in a very politically minded question. That's what happened last night with Miss Texas, Morgana Wood, as she was asked a question and had a pretty sparkly answer. Listen.
Last month, a demonstration of neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and the KKK in Charlottesville, Virginia, turned violent and a counter-protester was killed. The president said there was shared blame with, quote, very fine people on both sides. Were there? Tell me yes or no and explain.
I think that the white supremacist issue, it was very obvious that it was a terrorist attack. And I think that President Donald Trump should have made a statement earlier addressing the fact and making sure all Americans feel safe in this country. That is the number one issue right now.
How about
that? She had a fantastic answer, but that was an unfair question. That should not have been included.
Too political, you think?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like that was a slam at Donald because this is the competition he didn't.
I wondered that too.
It really seems like it.
If maybe this particular pageant said we're the one that's not owned or run by Trump. Although I think he had to sell interest in the other one, I think.
Listen, I've never been an apologist for President Trump.
Yeah.
And I even said president right there.
Yeah.
But this was an unfair question to bring out because, first of all, it put her in an uncomfortable situation. She answered it wonderfully.
Very eloquently.
She did.
I read up on her a little bit. Morgana Wood is her name. She's Miss Texas. So
the kissing bandit,
she's
Morgana?
The kissing bandit. No, that's a different Morgana.
Oh.
There's not that many of them.
No.
It's smaller than the
offspring?
Jewish community in Kentucky. No, she's in no way related. But she does a lot of work for those that are bullied or mistreated. That's her whole platform, her whole stance. So I guess They pull these questions very much at random. She picks the name of one of the judges, and then they ask a question. So it just happened that this political question went her way. But here's my question. When you answer that honestly, and she was very honest about this.
She was great.
Aren't you kind of taking at risk the fact that maybe some of the judges might not be on the same side as you politically, and that could cost you the whole tournament?
That's what
right?
I mean. That was not a fair question. You can't,
right?
You know, condemn someone and say, is that right, yes or no?
Right.
I just think that was very unfair.
Yeah, yeah.
Did she end up winning?
No, she did not win. The winner was Miss North Dakota, Kara Mund, followed by Missouri's Jennifer Davis and then New Jersey's Caitlin Schoeffel. Those were your winners. So who's to say? Maybe that did cost her a point or two. Maybe it got her some points. Maybe there's some people who agreed with her and said, boy, I wasn't going to pick her, but I like her stance on this. You're supposed to be judged on all these things equally, so maybe it got her some points. Maybe it lost her some points.
What does this competition do? Like, what do you get from it? Yeah, you're an ambassador or whatever. I'm shocked that this is still going on, too, in this day and age.
I know. I mean,
do you get a scholarship?
I think there is a scholarship involved.
Yes, I know there is some money involved.
And don't you get a caddying scholarship, too? They don't televise the caddy contest.
Right.
It used to be prestigious, but I don't think it's that prestigious anymore. Like, if you were a Miss America, it got you places,
right.
Like a Phyllis George,
right.
Or, you know, people like that. But at this point, like, I don't.
Can you name really anyone who's won this contest in the last 20 years?
Nope. I can, Linda only Carter. Because there was one from Kentucky.
Oh.
Heather French.
So that must have been a while ago.
It's been a while.
Right?
Yeah.
The last beauty
contest
name
one
winner
from,
I can name is Vanessa Williams. And how long ago was that, 35 years
ago? And
ago.
You only remember because of the scandal.
The scandal, yeah.
Linda Carter, didn't she win something?
Linda Carter, I think, might have won a local contest. I don't think she ever won Miss USA. No, she couldn't have. Miss USA or Miss America. I think she might have been like Miss Texas or something.
Oh, okay.
And recently there was a former Miss America just in the news, and she was a lawyer, Harvard educated, and the whole, and I forgot
she's
her
running
name.
Against Rahm Emanuel, isn't she? Isn't there?
She's running for something, but it was
mayor.
A whole scandal of whether you call her like Harvard educated
or former Miss
America, which
right.
do you?
Bertrand had her on the air, and I.
What is she running for? It's something
I can't
here in
remember.
Chicago.
Either in Chicago or the state. It might be
somewhere.
Something statewide.
Yeah.
But I would ask her. I'd say, which are you more comfortable with
right.
when being introduced? Do you want to be former Miss America, or do you want to be?
I would not want to have that.
No.
And I have won numerous pageants.
Several, many, many pageants.
But I would not want that. I would want a former Harvard graduate attorney.
Me too.
That's,
yeah.
you know, in this day and age where
right.
women are trying to make a mark for doing something a man could do,
right.
he can't be Miss America.
But do you remember, all right, so now we're going to go back 25, 30, 35 years. Whoever won that pageant, they'd show up on Merv Griffin or on the
right.
TV
right.
show. And it was like, it was a big deal. Like, it was royalty
yeah.
to have the Miss USA or the
Absolutely.
Miss America pageant winner in. Not anymore. It's
Wasn't Lee Merriweather a Miss
yes.
America? I was turning my wheels. I was like, I know another name, but that's way back too.
I'm trying to
feel
think
like I'm kind of acting like you now, Bill.
They're
bringing up Lee Merriweather.
I hope if Lee Merriweather. Marianne Mobley.
Marianne Mobley.
Right.
Who was she married to?
Gary Collins.
Yeah.
Yeah, from The Sixth Sense. I just knew that somehow, instinctively. Isn't that weird? Who else? There must have been one or two other fairly famous.
Phyllis George.
Phyllis George,
she
right.
was kind of.
Right.
She married the governor of Kentucky. That's why I know that.
And
then
yeah.
what's ironic is Heather French
yeah.
married at the time the lieutenant governor of
oh,
Kentucky.
Oh, wow. Not bad.
No.
They could double date.
So maybe it's worth being a Miss America in Kentucky.
It is. Wendy, start advertising this.
No, I won't do it. Former Miss America mounts Republican bid against Democratic Attorney General Lisa Madigan.
Oh,
Attorney
Lisa
General.
Madigan.
That's what she's running
and
for.
And her name is it Erica Harrell? Does that sound right? Erica Harrell.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
37-year-old Harrell is an attorney in Champaign, graduated from U of I and got a law degree from Harvard.
Okay.
A 2003 winner of the Miss America pageant. She used her platform to launch a program to combat bullying in schools.
Oh.
Everybody's against bullying, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But I'm not
it still
for bullying.
Continues.
Yeah. Yes, I know.
A couple of years
now.
Ago,
yes.
late at night, there's a 24-hour Jewel by me, and I was shopping late at night, like 2 o'clock in the morning. And not a lot of people in the store, but one of them was a woman who wore a sash, a very nice evening gown and a sash that said Miss Itasca on it. And she was just moving her cart around like it was no big deal. But I think if you wear the sash that says Miss Itasca, you're saying to the world, notice me, comment on me. I'm wearing a sash at 2 a.m. and an all-night jewel. Right?
Well, maybe she was off because she wasn't wearing a crown.
Right. She's off duty. That's how you can tell a beauty pageant winner is on duty.
Crown's removed.
Right. Just another night.
It's a sad story, really. I feel sorry for Miss Itasca.
I felt sorry for her, too. I wanted to congratulate her, but then I also thought, but it's
now's
just
not the time.
The whole yeah, it's too late. Like at 10 o'clock, I would have said congratulations. Not at 2 in the morning.
Poor thing.
It's too late. Kim, congratulations on the good news.
Kim's going to
be
a grandmother.
Thank you, Meemaw. Well, Wendy and I have
Meemaw,
to call you that, too.
That's a good one.
All right, we'll call you that, too. All right, stick around. We'll close things off next. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Time to hit the freeway. Why did you just pick up a phone? Bill just picked up a phone in the studio and did the smile. Okay, thank you for calling.
Wendy, the calls are coming in by the thousands.
They're not.
Hundreds.
No?
Dozens.
Mm-mm.
We had a wrong phone call.
Oh, okay.
That's it for today's show, everybody. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you learned a little something. I didn't. Did you?
Not really.
Nope, not a thing. Congratulations again to Kim Gordon's grandchild. Not born yet, but coming soon.
To a radio station near you.
Radio station near you. You want to do this tomorrow? Let's do it tomorrow.
Let's play.
We'll do it again tomorrow. All right, bye, everybody. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.